You're fired.
We crossed party lines. This was not straight ticket Democrat, Republican. This is what people wanted.
I didn't run to make history or to make headlines. I ran to make a difference in my community.
They said that a kid who grew up poor, black, and gay in the village of Spring Valley could never run for Congress.
I find hope not for just other people, but for myself.
When a member of our community stands up and runs a competent, credible race and is true to themselves, we all win.
We may be opponents, but we're not enemies.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Puebla joins Mexican marriage equality states. Taiwan Pride beats COVID as its president beats critics. And rainbow winds brighten the Biden-Harris triumph. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Paula Thomas.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 7th, 2020. Across the United States, a record number of openly LGBTQ candidates are winning election to public office. Even as LGBTQ supportive Democrats, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, get ready to become the nation's 46th president and the first female and first person of color vice president. This Way Out's comprehensive queer perspective coverage of the U.S. elections follows NewsWrap. In other news this week, another state in heavily Roman Catholic Mexico is opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. The Congress of Puebla voted overwhelmingly on November 3rd for reforming the state civil code to recognize the legal marriages of gay and lesbian couples. The tally was 31 in favor, 5 opposed, and 2 abstentions. A favorable 2015 marriage equality ruling from the Supreme Court of Justice of the nation left the matter in the hands of each of Mexico's 31 states. Puebla is now the 19th state to allow same-gender couples to legally walk down the aisle. The Federal District of Mexico City is its own jurisdiction. It led the country in opening the civil institution to lesbian and gay couples in 2010.
Peru's Constitutional Court has rejected an activist lawsuit demanding the recognition of his marriage. Oscar Ugarteche Galarza legally married Mexican citizen Fidel Arocha Reyes in Mexico. The 14 members of the Organization of American States that don't have marriage equality are obligated to enact it under a 2017 ruling by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. Peru is one of them. Ugarteche Galarza says he will now take his case to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights.
It was the largest in-person LGBTQ pride celebration on the planet since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it happened in Taiwan. About 130,000 revelers marched and danced through the streets of Taipei on October 31st in the 18th annual event. This year's theme was Beauty, My Own Way. Taiwan has been COVID-free for more than 200 days. Just 555 infections and 7 deaths were recorded during the entire course of the health crisis there. Far fewer visitors from other countries attended this year because of the pandemic, but about 20 foreign delegations sent representatives to march in the parade. President Tsai Ing-wen encouraged participation in the celebration in a Facebook post saying, "Today's key words are love, tolerance, and a better Taiwan. Let's work hard to make them the key words for every day." Tsai's supportive remarks led leaders of various Christian denominations across the island to cancel the national prayer breakfast this week. It's been held every year since 2001. After a majority of the organizing committee indicated that President Tsai would not be welcome because of her queer-affirming remarks, her spokesperson said that Tsai had respectfully declined to attend this year. Organizers then decided to call the whole thing off.
The U.S. Supreme Court heard a case on November 4th highlighting the clash between so-called religious liberty and laws protecting LGBTQ people. It's also the first case heard by Trump-appointed Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Barrett is known for her fundamentalist religious beliefs and her evasive responses to questions about LGBTQ rights during her confirmation hearings alarmed equality advocates. The case is known as Fulton versus City of Philadelphia and centers on a Roman Catholic Church-affiliated adoption agency. Catholic Social Services refuses to accept applications from same-gender couples referred by the city's government-funded foster care system. The agency argued that forcing it to accept those couples violates its core religious beliefs. Its representatives claimed that it had never had an application from a lesbian or gay couple. If any applied, they say, they would refer the couple to similar agencies in the city that would welcome them. Most observers who listened to the virtually conducted hearing predict that the conservative majority will rule in favor of the Catholic Social Services. Justice Brett Kavanaugh tipped his hand during this week's hearing by calling Philadelphia's position absolutist and extreme. Another signal came back in early October when Justices Alito and Thomas questioned the High Court's 2015 marriage equality ruling. Their comments were included in their dissent in a queer workplace anti-bias case, a case for which Trump appointee Neil Gorsuch surprised many by writing the LGBTQ supportive ruling. The pivotal vote in the current case may be Chief Justice John Roberts, who was in the marriage equality decision's minority. The city of Philadelphia is trying to enforce its laws banning anti-queer discrimination by its government contractors, but some worry that a decision against the city would effectively water down the marriage equality ruling. It could also threaten protective anti-bias laws across the country. A ruling is expected sometime in May or June next year.
The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a case against gay Black Lives Matter activist Deray McKesson on November 2nd. However, the decision was based on a legal technicality, so McKesson is not yet off the hook. The incident in question occurred at a protest over the 2016 police killing of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. An unnamed police officer was seriously injured by a piece of concrete or rock allegedly thrown by a protester. The alleged assailant has never been identified, but the officer sued McKesson for damages solely because McKesson is a Black Lives Matter organizer. A federal district court dismissed the case on free speech grounds. However, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decided that McKesson could be liable if a violent confrontation with a police officer was a foreseeable effect of negligently directing a protest. Justice Clarence Thomas was the only dissenter in this high court decision. Justice Amy Coney Barrett was not involved because the case was argued before she was appointed to the court. The 7-1 ruling sent the case back to be reconsidered in the lower courts. An ACLU attorney representing McKesson said in a press release, "We look forward to a ruling reaffirming that the fundamental right to protest cannot be attacked in this way."
Finally, the Seattle Storm's Sue Bird has led her team to 3 Women's National Basketball Association championships and holds 4 Olympic gold medals. But now she's won the heart of another sports superstar. Bird posted a photo on Instagram of celebrated women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe taking a knee to give her an engagement ring. Rapinoe led the U.S. national squad to 2 Women's World Cup titles and is an Olympic gold medalist herself. She's also been one of the most vocal champions of equal pay for equal work in professional sports. The lesbian power couple met at the 2016 Rio Olympics. They were the first same-gender couple to appear on the cover of ESPN's Body Issue. As co-hosts for this year's ESPY Sports Awards, with Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, both women sported outfits from Black fashion designers, including Black Lives Matter t-shirts. It's been reported that a public opinion poll conducted last year indicated that Rapinoe would win the presidency if she ran against Donald Trump. Rapinoe made reference to the idea in her World Cup victory speech last year, saying,
"We have pink hair and purple hair. We have tattoos and dreadlocks. We got white girls and black girls and everything in between. Straight girls and gay girls. Hey! It's my absolute honor to lead this team out on the field. There's no other place that I would rather be, even in the presidential race."
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending November 7th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsRap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in your ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsRap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay healthy.
And I'm Paula Thomas. Stay safe. So much
cooler online. There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
NewsRap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Kinda like to be the president. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I can show you how your money's spent.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
It's time for us to come together as a nation to heal. It's not gonna be easy. We have to try. My responsibility as president will be to represent the whole nation. And I want you to know that I'll work as hard for those who voted against me as those who voted for me. That's the job. That's the job. It's called the duty of care for all Americans. We may be opponents, but we're not enemies.
Welcome back, America. That's how a tweet from Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo summed up the world's response to the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to be President and Vice President of the United States. The announcement of the Democratic ticket's victory brought sighs of relief and joyous celebrations after days of painstaking ballot counting. Across the country, the LGBTQ community had even more to celebrate. Dozens of winning queer candidates. Some of our NewsRap team has a roundup of some of those rainbow races. We start, however, with Anise Parker of the Victory Fund.
It's important to remember that more than 1,000 openly LGBT candidates stood up to run this year. When a member of our community stands up and runs a competent, credible race and is true to themselves, we all win.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Bisexual African-American Democrat Tory Harris and Republican Eddie Manis of Knoxville are the first LGBTQ people to claim seats in the Tennessee State House of Representatives. Out-candidate Brandon Thomas may be joining them when his race is finally decided. Lesbian Episcopal priest Kim Jackson will be the first out member of Georgia's state Senate. 28-year-old Adrian Tam defeated the leader of the local chapter of the far-right Proud Boys by 63% in his Oahu district. He'll be Hawaii's first openly LGBTQ House of Representatives member. The first Black LGBTQ person elected to the Rhode Island State Senate is Tiara Mack. Gay and lesbian Democrats Chris Pappas of New Hampshire, David Cicilline of Rhode Island, Mark Takano of California, Sharice Davids of Kansas, and Mark Pocan of Wisconsin are all returning to the U.S. Congress.
Yes, I gotta have faith. Ooh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith, faith, faith. I gotta have faith, faith, faith.
In Puerto Rico, 4 out candidates were elected. Lesbian of African descent, Ana Irma Rivera Lassen, to the Puerto Rico Senate. Out pro-statehood, New Progressive Party member Jorge Baez Pagan, to an at-large seat in the Puerto Rico House of Representatives. Gay Miguel Ricky Mendez as mayor of the northwest coast city of Isabela, and Edgardo Cruz Velez as mayor of the southwest coast city of Guanica, where he won in a write-in campaign. Puerto Rican voters also narrowly approved a non-binding statehood referendum. And two lesbian sheriffs are coming to town. Kristen Graziano defeated the 30-year incumbent who had demoted her in Charleston County, South Carolina. She told a press conference,
"When you look at the voting totals, we crossed party lines. This was not straight ticket Democrat, Republican. This is what people wanted. I don't believe this should be a partisan race. Unfortunately, it is. And I think our message resonated with everybody. We need to put people in the community that look like the community. And we need to work on our diversity and our inclusion in law enforcement. I'm honored. Yes, I'm the first female elected sheriff in the state of South Carolina. But y'all, this isn't about me. And most of the people I've worked with know it. I intend to take this agency to the next level."
The incumbent sheriff who fired Charmaine McGuffey was fired by the voters of Hamilton County, Ohio, and they elected McGuffey instead. She told local TV station WLWT,
"I find hope not for just other people, but for myself. When I started working for Sheriff Simon Lease, I was terrified that someone was going to find out I was gay. Terrified. I knew it would kill my career. I knew I would have no more opportunities, and I knew that I might even get fired for it."
Two queer candidates survived negative campaigns. Transgender Colorado lawmaker Brianna Titone defeated her Republican opponent, despite a despicable transphobic fear smear. Titone was first elected in the Democrats' blue wave in 2018 and won by an even larger margin this time. Democrat Roger Montoya beat the Republican campaign that highlighted two adult films he had appeared in more than 35 years ago. Now he'll be pictured with the New Mexico House of Representatives. And lesbian Democrat Angie Craig was reelected to represent the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota, despite a Republican effort to siphon off votes with a third-party candidate.
Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Oh, won't you let the good times roll?
Black and Muslim community organizer Maury Turner is now the first non-binary state lawmaker in U.S. history. The Oklahoma City Democrat defeated her opponent for the state House by close to 70%. Pittsburgh bisexual Jessica Benham is now the first queer member of the Pennsylvania State House. She's also one of the few autistic state lawmakers in the U.S. Taylor Small is the first out transgender person elected to the Vermont State Legislature. And David Ortiz is the first openly bisexual candidate elected to the Colorado General Assembly.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual...
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? To accept the principle that homosexuals can't shower with other people is a degree of discrimination that goes far beyond this. I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
The sun is rising in the Sunshine State's legislature with two out black candidates. Florida voters are sending gay Miami-Dade Democrat Chevron Jones to be their first out state senator and Michelle Raynor Goolsbee to be the first out lesbian in the state house. Chickasaw Nation member Stephanie Byers won election to the Kansas House. She's the state's first transgender elected official and maybe the first elected transgender person of color in the country. And 25-year-old Alex Lee is the youngest person to be elected to the California State Assembly in more than 80 years. He's also the Assembly's first openly bisexual lawmaker.
Anti-queer smear tactics that included threats on his life could not stop Todd Gloria. He won his campaign to become the first openly gay person of color elected mayor of San Diego, one of California's largest cities. Bisexual Christy Halstead won re-election to the Palm Springs, California City Council, and under the council's rules, she's next in line to rotate into the mayor's seat. In more state legislature wins, lesbian social worker Marie Pinckney goes to the Delaware Senate, gay Eric Morrison goes to the Vermont House, and transgender former Human Rights Campaign spokesperson Sarah McBride of Delaware becomes the country's first openly transgender state senator. She told the CBS TV affiliate in Philadelphia,
"I didn't run to make history or to make headlines. I ran to make a difference in my community. And I know that the best way to honor the LGBTQ community is to fulfill my responsibilities as a state senator to the residents of the 1st Senate District, to do the best job that I can for the residents of this district."
It's a celebration. Let's celebrate.
Sam Park was the first openly gay man and the first Asian American Democrat elected to the Georgia House and has now been reelected. Gary Razor is now the only out LGBTQ person ever elected to the Missouri State Senate. Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Cuban-American Jabari Brisport of Brooklyn. He's now the New York State Legislature's first out black LGBTQ person. The Bronx is sending the U.S. Congress its first Afro-Latinx in the person of Richie Torres. He gave credit where credit is due during an interview on Gay USA TV.
"You know, my mother's my greatest supporter. You know, when I was at the lowest point of my life, in moments when I was struggling with depression or abusing substances or thought of taking my own life, the one person who was there for me at every turn was my mother. I would not be here were it not for her unconditional love. She raised me in public housing, and it's her love that brought me to the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. So this moment belongs as much to my mother as it does to me."
And Mondaire Jones will join Torres in the U.S. Congress. Jones represents a district just north of New York City. As an African-American gay man, he celebrated what once seemed impossible during his election night victory speech.
"They said that this moment was not possible. They said that a kid who grew up poor, black, and gay in the village of Spring Valley could never run for Congress. They said a lot of things, and we proved every last one of them wrong."
That's right.
For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
I'm John Dyer V.
I'm Melanie Keller.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
I'm Marcos Najera.
And I'm Lucia Chappell.
A whopping 61% of the queer vote went to the Biden-Harris ticket. However, support in the LGBTQ community for the Trump-Pence ticket doubled since 2016 to 28%. The Trump administration's assaults on LGB and especially T rights continue even in its now waning days.
Biden's platform promises to end Trump's anti-trans policies and address anti-trans violence, to establish fair treatment in the criminal justice system, and to give full support to the Equality Act.
Right now our country's gloomy. Fear is in the air. But when Joe's president, hope is everywhere. Troubles fly when life will easy flow. Joe will keep us safe. That's all we need to know. Seems like happiness is just a thing called Joe.
Hawk, if you want America to trust each other again. Hawk, if you want America to be united again. Folks, we cannot afford four more years of Donald Trump.
This is a fraud on the American public. Yes. This is an embarrassment to our country. Yes. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
What a testament it is to Joe's character that he had the audacity to break one of the most substantial barriers that exists in our country and select a woman as his vice president. But while I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last.
I'm proud of the coalition we put together, the broadest and most diverse coalition in history. Democrats, Republicans, independents, progressives, moderates, conservatives, young, old, urban, suburban, rural, gay, straight, transgender, white, Latino, Asian, Native American. And especially for those moments when this campaign was at its lowest ebb, the African-American community stood up again for me. You've always had my back, and I'll have yours.
President Joe. President Joe. President Joe.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Paula Thomas and Michael LeBeau, produced by Brian Duchaser, and from Christopher Gall, John Dyer V, Melanie Keller, Michael Taylor Gray, Tommy Kane Perry, Marcos Nahara, and Lucia Chappelle. Thanks also to Rob LeCrone and Laura Dickinson Turner. War, George Michael, Pentatonix, The Cars, Laura Nero and LaBelle, Three Dog Night, Kool and the Gang, Barbara Streisand, and Cher performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from the late Christopher David Trentum, and donors James Kennedy and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KYAQ, Lincoln County, Oregon, WLRI, Christiana, Pennsylvania, 8CCC, Alice Springs, Australian Northern Territory, and a wide array of community, terrestrial, and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe and stay tuned.